This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I talk to the sleep addict?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Beyond and hello and welcome once again to IGN's weekly PlayStation show. This is episode 839. That's too many episodes. I'm your host, Max Scoville, and I'm joined by my good friends, Brian Altano, Jada Griffin, and Lakeem LaWanson. Hey, everybody.
Beyond. Yo, Beyond.
What's going on?
What's going on indeed? We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Last episode didn't happen. We didn't have an episode last week because of some technical stuff behind the scenes. And I know things got kicked around because of Brian and I were traveling. Making silly videos that someday you'll get to see. And then we just didn't record and that didn't happen. And I'm sorry, but we'll make it up to you this week. We got some fun stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Helldivers too, because people love Helldivers. It's a good place to good swear word to dive into. We're going to talk about unicorns because why wouldn't we?
It's the opposite of hell.
Yeah.
Unicorns.
That is, I don't think the unicorns is the opposite of hell, but I see where you're going with that, I guess.
As the father of a five-year-old girl, I would say there's a lot of crossover between those worlds for me.
Fair, yeah. I want someone who just uses the word unicorns like interchangeably with hell. You know, like what, the unicorns? Get the unicorns out of here. Anyway, before we get into any of that, we are going to talk about merch madness. No, I'm not saying March wrong. Merch madness is a thing that's happening on the IGN store. We got a bunch of items discounted up to 60% off, so head over there and check it out in case you are in the market for some new apparel. We've got discounts on pre-orders for the new line of Fallout merch exclusive to IGN. There's a very cool Vault 33 hoodie. If you are musically inclined, we've got vinyl. That is like a large flat circle that you can use an old-fashioned machine to listen to. I have lots of these large circles in my house. They're great. We got soundtracks for Horizon Forbidden West, God of War Ragnarok, stuff like that. The sale is only going on until March 18th, so head over to the IGN store, store.ign.com. Check that stuff out.
That's a t-shirt that's 60% off the price, right? It's not just 60% of the t-shirt where it's just
60%
stops.
Off t-shirt
you
is a crop top,
get
my friend.
Sleeves.
Yeah, that's
you only get sleeves.
Or it's just like one of those, it's just a, like
so
a
it's
thing
a crop
around
top.
The waist. Just the sleeves.
What is only the sleeves? What is that?
That's my new website.
Hey, you know what? After seeing some like fashion weeks, like you can't question something being only sleeves.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair. Anyway, this is the number one podcast where we talk about how a shirt
only sleeves.
Should be off. Only
oops,
sleeves.
All sleeves. There's
yeah.
been a
oops, all sleeves.
Factory.
What are we anyway,
you got all those tank tops where there's no where they have the sleeve cutoffs. What are they doing with the sleeves?
They gotta go stop somewhere. Putting Captain Crunch can't be in charge of anything anymore. This should be, and he's gonna get sunburns if he only goes out in that boat with
somebody okay. out there is making pants out of all the extra sleeves. They're stitching them together. They look like I don't know Pippi Longstocking, Cat in the Hat. Our producer just chimed in the notes and said this is turning into be off, as in the opposite of beyond. Anyway, let's get into video games. That's what people are theoretically here to talk about. Helldivers 2 is really, really good. It is a very fun video game about shooting all sorts of bugs and robots. And I didn't need to tell you that. A lot of people know that. Everyone knows that. People are playing Helldivers as we speak. Thousands of them, millions of them. They're shooting the bugs, you know, spreading democracy throughout the galaxy and having a grand old time. But I kind of wanted to just dig into, like, what's so special about this game? Why does this game work? Because I feel like from a distance, it is a game where you and some friends, again, get your little guy and you go to space and you shoot robots and aliens. And it's like that's mm-hmm. video games have done that quite a few times. Why does this time work? Why is this so special?
Yeah, I think it's just the kind of the gameplay, the minute to minute gameplay is just so chaotic. It's like random-ish. Like you can predict certain things that are going to happen, but then you never know when you miss a bug that calls a bug breach and spawns four bile titans, which are these giant daddy long leg spiders that just spit venom and acid at you. I know daddy long legs don't spit venom and acid, but that's the best way to describe these giant hulking titans of spiders. And it, you know, it's so much fun moment to moment. Like, you know, you don't get upset when you die because you have so many lives when you're playing in a squad. So it's like, it's not that big a deal. Like if somebody accidentally calls an airstrike too close to you. And I think it's also the pain of like dying is also undercut by the comedy. The yeah. writing in this yeah. is so good. The fact that like every line is some type of pun about democracy or liberty. You know, it's like you throw a grenade, it's like, have a nice cup of some liberty. So
I think to piggyback on that too, like the writing is sharp, but also like there's a lot of accidental comedy that happens here, or environmental comedy that happens mm-hmm. just from the physics combining with each other, which I think yes. is like the mark of a very good multiplayer game. And I think that there's a lot of like very popular multiplayer games that are kind of a wet fart. Like they don't really have that ability to happen. And I think there's stuff like, it happens in Smash Brothers, it happens in Fortnite, it happens in Mario Kart, it happens in Apex and stuff like that, where like something will happen that's so funny that no one could have possibly predicted and no writer could have possibly created, right? Like there's scenes and stuff has gone viral with this game where like a character will throw a grenade and an enemy will accidentally like kind of swing and smack it backwards and they'll be like, we got him! And it'll land back on your squad and kill everybody. Stuff like that happens all the time, and I think those things are better advertisement for Helldivers 2 than any review, any commercials. When one of those clips goes viral and it goes just insanely big all over Reddit and social media and Twitter and stuff like that, like people look up and they go like, wait, what is this game? That can happen? That's I want that mm-hmm. level of chaos and organized confusion that could happen to me and my friends.
That's I think a lot of it is like if this was PvP multiplayer, I feel like that amount of chaos would be, you know, it's easy to kind of look at that and be like, oh, that was cheap, that wasn't fair, that yeah. happened to them and not us. But the fact that everyone's kind of on the same team here, it's like a shared misery, you know? Mm-hmm. And the comedy, like, people will get mad at each other if, you know, you call in an airstrike on someone else. Like, there's some people who I think are taking this game too seriously. I hope they're having fun with their very, very high level loadouts and all that. But like, I think also people who are just playing and having a good time, there's a level of like, I don't know, it's, you're playing pretend with your pals. It's like, it's very
Starship Troopers. You're just mm-hmm. you're living out these like movies like Starship Troopers, just like in real life, and it's just so crazy. I had one of the chargers, which are like those tank things, run me over, and then my body got lifted into the armor plate behind its head and its chest and its like its back plate, and so my body was just like waving like back and forth as I died, like it just bled me to death. And then as I'm watching somebody else's camera, because we're out of respawns, and I just see the charger running around a circle in a victory lap with my corpse just flailing on top of it, and I'm just like, what is going on here?
I have
like,
a stupid question. Do the corpses don't stay there, do they?
They do.
Do they stay there permanently in the match?
I don't think they stay permanently, but they stay there for quite a while.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, that's something that they could totally add and just have permanent corpses and just really just really break the game and like, you know, hell, have it go through multiple matches. Have planets that are just mountains of just dead Helldivers, just piles and piles, and the bugs
trying on them. Like another really great thing that this game is doing, specifically the people behind it, is they're both simultaneously like immensely transparent about what's working and what isn't working, right? So when like the mm-hmm. servers had issues, they were like, we're working on it, we're doing this, like, here's peek under the hood, like we can't just double the amount of servers and fix it. And like they took their time, but they were open and communicative with the audience, and I think because of that, like, there's that sort of mark of shame that happens when a game launches on PC, happens more so than on the consoles, where the Steam reviews go, you know, dip into the red, and they stay that way forever, right? And I think with Helldivers, there was definitely like a very rocky launch. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. But sure. they eventually turned things around. The servers are not an issue anymore. New issues have arisen yesterday. Like, I reported on one for the fix yesterday about Max was just alluding to it, like the people getting booted out of games who weren't high level enough. And on social media, the studio was just kind of like, hey, we actually don't know how to fix this, but we want your solutions. And like, that's, you know, that's a slippery slope sometimes, but I think it's really cool that they were sort of just like, we want to fix this, we're working on it, we don't understand. And then piggybacking on that, the narrative angle of doing that was doing stuff like mechs and being like, they're here in the factory, but the factory's under siege and we need your help to get them out. Like, that's such a smart way to deploy new content by sort of like, you know, invigorating the audience to get in there and work together to unlock something. It's brilliant.
I want to apologize because when they showed off the mechs initially, I was like rolling my eyes and being like, I guess the mechs aren't ready yet. Why does this have to be like Battle Pass stuff? Why can't this just be ready at launch? And this is so much better than I could have imagined. The fact that it was like, oh no, you have to work for it. Like, you have to play the game. Like, it's not just, I mean, that's something that this game does so well, is the whole like meta game. The fact that it is really leaning heavily on the fact that everyone's working together. This is a massive team effort. It's not just the people in your squad. It's everybody pushing in the same direction at once. And like that, the fact that it's like everyone worked together to unlock the mechs collectively. That's not just like, yeah, you leveled up, you ground enough to get to the part where the mech box unchecks on your menu or whatever. You still have to do that now that they are unlocked. But the fact that there is a narrative kind of metagame collective reason, everyone killed enough robots that now we can have robot suits at home, you know, like, and that's so smart. And like, I like that they're comparing it sort of to playing Dungeons and Dragons on a massive scale. And the idea that there's somebody, I love it, it's just some dude named Joel who's just running this. And he's like, yeah, like, again, there's a level of sort of transparency and, you know, communication that we don't usually see from games. Like, we don't usually see this kind of handled this well. And I mean, it's endearing, and it's, again, this is something that can totally backfire because opening, you know, designed by, what's the expression? Like a camel is a horse designed by committee. You know, if you get everybody's idea, you know, what should this have? And it's like, you get us a bunch of suggestions that go over which way, but having like a specific problem, like, hey, hardcore players are kicking out other players because they don't have the right loadout. And they're like, how do we police this? And they getting just a bunch of different, you know, different approaches, different reasons, different suggestions from the audience is like super smart. And it's also, again, there's a feeling of camaraderie that comes with that. You know, it's not,
and I think,
just
that's something that, you know, Fortnite's experimented with for a while, where they've sort of been like, hey, there's been a cataclysmic event and like something, you know, the burger restaurant's gone and there's a hole there instead. Get in there and see what the hell's going on. But if you look at like historically most popular games in general, launch updates in the most mechanical and boring way possible via patch notes. And they'll just be like, here's what's in 62.810A. And then it's just like, we nerfed the blasters, we blasted the nerfers. Like, it just keeps going down the list and you're like, all right, yeah, that's, thank you, cool. And then people go through and they're like, I hate that, I love that. You ruined this, you made that better. But the idea of just coming out there and just being like, oh no, there's been an accident. Like, you know, or like, there's a takeover at the factory, get in there and kick some ass. I love that. And I feel like a lot of studios are going to be watching that and the success of that, and they're going to piggyback on it, and like gamers as a result are going to benefit from the creativity that will hopefully inspire others to keep that kind of story going when it comes to dropping new content in popular games.
Well, that's something that's so hard to scope too, because like I don't think they anticipated how big of a success this game was going to be. And I'm guessing the plan from day one or before day one was to have the mechs unlock based on something that's happening in the game. But like, you know, it's, you know, if you set your what, eBay reserve too high, you know, you're not going to sell the thing. If you aim too high and you fall short of it, it's embarrassing. And if you aim too low, then there's no pageantry to, like, you got to find that sweet spot of like how many robots have to get killed for the mechs to be unlocked. And I think they gauged that appropriately. They figured that out. They didn't do the same thing with servers at launch, apparently.
Servers are impossible to like really predict before launch. Like, this didn't drop with a demo, so there was no type of stress testing that was able to be done. I'm sure they have their own internal testing and small like closed betas, but like it's hit or miss. Like, you're either going to have enough servers day one or you're not. Like, and there's no way to really know. And we see this with lots of games that launch and their servers are just not ready for it. Thankfully, like you said, you know, they were super just transparent and communicated to the audience. Like, even at its worst, I think the most time I had to wait was like 30 minutes to get in was when the queues were the worst, like that first launch week, which isn't terrible compared to other games. I know some people had it worse, but all in all, I think it was still, you know, besides the rocky launch, like overall, it's just they've done such a great job just with everything. You know, I love that we have a DM named Joel that is just controlling everything. Every time I fail a mission, I curse Joel to the you know, to the skies, just like damn you, Joel.
I think also like the it's, you know, and we've mentioned this on episodes in the past, but as every studio on Earth, or seemingly many of them, are trying to pivot almost entirely into like games as a service type stuff, and like Jada, everything you said is so true about like you cannot predict how successful a game like this will be. It could tank out the gate, or it becomes like one of the biggest hits ever and your servers are dying. I think that like what made all of that easier to swallow for the average consumer, and when it didn't work, made it easier to swallow, was that this game is $40. Like, I think if your $70 game doesn't work for the first week or the first weekend, you're a lot madder than when your $40 game doesn't work, you know? And I think that like when you're, you know, on the fence about buying a brand new game that's, you know, predominantly multiplayer focused and like, you know, is leading people in that direction to be like, this is what you're, you know, this is what you're doing here. You're playing a multiplayer game, and it might, you might bounce off of it. You might go back to your other games and stuff like that. $40 is awesome. Like everything is $1 million. You can't do any, every time you leave the house, it's like $100 now. So $40 to get like a big ass great video game that's getting great updates, that's fun as hell, like that rules. And I really hope we get to see more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's such an experience. It's one of those games you kind of have to play too. Mm-hmm. Like you can see all the clips and stuff. The clips do a great job of showcasing it, but like you really won't fully like enjoy it until you've like actually dived yourself to the ground and been swarmed by 100 bugs and just been like, what is going on? I hit level cap last night. Which is level 50. Shocker, I know, guys. I already got the platinum trophy too. Shocker, I know.
If you're new to the show, Jada is extremely good at video games. Will beat all of your asses. It's just shocking. I actually don't know when you sleep or do anything. Like it's obscene.
Generally between like 2 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Why don't you platinum a good night's sleep? How about that, Jada, huh?
It's too many hours, Max. It's too many hours. but yeah, like, you know, and one thing I also do commend them for is how well it works, not only with your friends, but with randoms. Like they have a solid pinging system where you can communicate most things. It's still very beneficial to talk and communicate things to people ahead of time of throwing like various stratagems like airstrikes or nukes, but you can still kind of communicate that with the ping system. So they did a really good job of like not only allowing you to, you know, play with friends, play with randoms, and then there's also elements where you can play solo, where it kind of becomes this really weird stealth game where you're just kind of like running through the forest, like dodging patrols.
It becomes survival horror, robots. Straight up.
Yes, 100%.
I would say your mileage may vary if playing solo. Akeem, we were talking about this a little bit. Have you had a chance to kind of dig in deeper at all, dive in, as it were?
No, I have no friends, so I've just been playing it. I've just been playing it solo. So it's this game was not built to be played solo. You can, but it's a lot more hectic, a lot more chaotic. You start talking to yourself quite often because you have no one else to talk to. I love what you all said. I definitely agree with everything that you all said. I think one of the things that kind of sets this apart from like a game like Fortnite is the fact that, you know, when you die, you come back, as opposed to, you know, you're watching someone else play it. So it's not as competitive as a game like Fortnite, where, you know, if you do die or screw up a shot or something, someone's going to be screaming at you saying like, you suck. If you suck here, it's okay, dude. You know, it's okay to suck. I'm just going to come right back as a different soldier. So let's just keep the chaos going.
I've been playing, like, I haven't actually squatted up with anybody I know. I think I wound up on a squad with Khalif Jenkins from Spawn on Me. I'm not entirely sure, but I dropped into a match. I'm like still super low level. I got dropped into a match that was, I forget what like terror threat level it was, but it was like way above my pay grade, and for whatever reason it matched make me with that. And it was like the tail end of a match, and it was like I think it was actually the first time I fought robots, and it dumped me in this match, and there everyone else is on comms, they're all just like screaming and shouting at each other, like, oh, and like they're all like, oh, look, this guy's here, what's he doing, is he gonna help us? And they're like, I'm so ready for someone to just be like shit talking what I'm doing. And I'm like completely panicking. I have no idea what's going on. I don't even know where out of bounds is. It's one of those weird like spots. It's on the edge of the map where if you go, you know, around a corner, it's like, you got to get back to the combat zone. You're going to die. And I'm like, I'm just running every which way. And they're all like, they're all cheering me on and laughing. And I'm not used to that. Like I'm used to, I've definitely had like, you know, people on my squad and like, you know, random matches of Fortnite, just be like openly just like mocking me. And I'm like, I usually just kind of just silent, but not really deadly, and just like keep my mic turned off. But like, it was really cute. They were, and then we managed to survive. We finished the match and they were like, that was sweaty. That was a rough match. And they were like, oh my God, this guy's only level 5. That must've been really scary. And I'm like, what a sweet thing to say. Like, it's an experience that I haven't had with a multiplayer game where people are like, wow, this guy really sucks and was completely in over his head and did not do anything to help our squad, but darn did he try. And it was, I don't know. I felt welcome. I don't think you get that when it's competitive. You know, I think there's something very special when like everyone's fighting against, you know, socialist robots and, bugs or whatever.
I've had a couple friends join in on my high level matches at the absolute just worst moment of the match. Like there's just 500 things on screen rushing to us, and I just see this one pod drop from the sky in the middle that we didn't call in, and I'm just like, run, we're just running now, we're not fighting, run.
Like, I love that.
It's
the one little thing that I completely, and other people have pointed this out much more effectively than I will here, but it plays like Metal Gear Solid 5, like mechanically, like the moment to moment of just running, diving, crawling, rolling. But the gameplay is really nothing like that, you know, aside from maybe, you know, hectic boss, you know, fighting a giant robot or whatever. But like someone put up a really cool video that shows a side by side, and it's like, you know, video games are you know, iterative. They borrow from each other left and right. If you're going to, no one is going to look at this game and call it like a Metal Gear Solid 5 ripoff. That is not at all a thing. You know, it's got DNA from all sorts of different video games, but like to take a movement system that works really well in one context and apply it somewhere else is just extremely cool. And it also, I think there's another thing from Metal Gear Solid 5 that it captures, which is hard to verbalize, but there's a level of role play to it, not just in the sort of D&D grander scheme, but I think there's a sense of ownership you get of your Helldiver, where it's less like, it's less of a character that you're, I don't know how to explain this. It's not, you know, it's not like Fortnite where you're like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, Thanos with the alien backpack or whatever. It's like, it feels like this is my little pretend guy. Like this is my action figure and I'm going to put on this cape and I'm going to do this thing. And this is my ship. And these are my things. And then, you know, it's the same way when everyone drops in together and it, you know, you see that like you contributed this percentile to the, you know, the spreading of democracy on this planet. There's a level of like, we did that together. And like this, again, it's a sense of like, you feel like, oh, every little vote counts, every little bit, everyone's pitching in, everyone's doing their thing, which was also a thing that
doing
was
their part.
That was like an end game thing in Metal Gear Solid 5, which was, it was something about like, if everyone gets a nuclear weapon and if everyone chooses not to detonate them, then there's a secret ending, but everybody has to not detonate their nukes. And of course, a bunch of people detonated their nukes, or I forget what it is. And people had to like basically data mine to get that ending out. But that's one of those examples of like, I guess, for lack of a better word, kind of democratic multiplayer that didn't quite pan out, you know? And I remember like a million years ago, Peter Molyneux did some crazy, like overly ambitious game where it was some stupid thing where like people tap on a crystal and like whoever finds the, Brian, do you remember this?
Yes, vaguely. I mean, it's up there with the other sort of hogwash that man.
Yeah, it was like a mobile game where it's like, it was a very much a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory approach where it's like, if enough people play this game, then one person will be the number one player and that person will get to control the game. But like, it does, if not enough people play, that takes forever. And if nobody cares, then nobody cares. But I don't know. It's there's a sweet spot when it comes to making a game that makes everybody feel like they're involved, but also like they're part of something so much larger, you know, like to give you the sense of like, there's that, you know, we were after that sort of that, you know, wish fulfillment, power fantasy, you know, situation out of a game, but also there's some fun to be kind of like overwhelmed. And this finds a really fun sweet spot between like, hell yeah, me and the gang, we're out there kicking ass across the galaxy, but also we are getting our asses kicked left and right. And there's, you know, Helldivers found that secret sauce.
Yeah, I think the quote of the day is definitely what Jada said earlier. Helldivers 2 is a game that you have to play.
You have to. Yes. Otherwise, you're not allowed to vote and you don't get benefits, as is the rules of Super Earth. That's how it
this
works.
This is out of all the other games, this is the one you have to play. This is based upon what Jada said.
Yeah, you have to play Helldivers.
Yeah.
This is a law for Beyond.
I think we can cut it short. Helldivers 2, this is the game. There it is. That's it. That's the quote. Put on the box. This is the game.
A game of the year.
A game of IGN.com.
All I'm saying is you either spread democracy in Helldivers 2 or you face treason. That's about it. Your two options.
What's the Ikaruga quote? Our frothing anticipation increases or whatever for that? Somebody wrote that in an IGN preview and they put it on the GameCube box art for that game. And it was just like, don't put frothing on anything.
You put that on a shirt to try to,
put it in coffee. Jeez, yeah. What the hell?
Don't even do that. Don't put it nowhere. Put it in the garbage can. Write it inside the garbage can and then fill the garbage can with garbage so no one can see it.
All right, I don't know how to really shift gears here, but unicorns, how about them?
Speaking of garbage.
A couple of unicorn games have come out. One of them is worth talking about, which is Unicorn
Damn,
Overlord.
Brian.
I don't know. They want me to try to drive the conversation, but you guys are just banging a kick in the back of the seat and throwing shit out the window. So I'm going to turn this car around.
Sorry about that. Just one last note on Helldivers 2, though. I did see what our producer typed in our notes. His ship's name is, was it Hammer of Family Values? Hammer of Family Values.
Mine is King of Science.
Mine is the Princess of Twilight.
No shit, really?
Yeah, I'm a big Zelda fan. I'm the Princess of Twilight.
Mine's the Breath of the Wild.
All right, speaking of the wild, unicorns are
no, that's
in the wild.
That's another Metal Gear Solid 5 thing. That's naming your mother base. There's so much Metal Gear Solid in this game, and it's like I feel like it's just under the surface. Like my mother base, my like logo had like a giant heart and it just said old woman across it. And I was like, that was my code name, was just old woman. And yeah. I would show up with my like shirt off, wearing my like leopard print pants, blasting Kim Wilde. And it's just like, I don't know. That's my one thing for Helldivers is I really hope that, you know, and I know a lot of people are opposed to this, but as a games as a service, I hope it gets real stupid. I hope they keep pushing 100%. It to get even dumber. They just added like Ghostbusters speeder bikes to Destiny or like a Slimer backpack. Something like that. And I'm just like, I don't know. That started out as very much like, you know, high fantasy and space kind of stuff, like with lore and like, you know, codexes or whatever. And it's like, now it's like Ghostbusters. I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyway.
That Metal Gear 5 was, you called things in, right? Like you would order stuff and it would just drop in from ships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Helldivers again. Yeah.
Unicorns.
I hope Helldivers gets weird. And also speaking of weird,
we should get to the point, much like the point on the horn of that horse known as the unicorn.
Yeah.
Unicorn Overlord is the latest from VanillaWare, which is a studio known for making beautiful painterly they do like a variety of genres. I always think of Dragon's Crown with the big the exaggerated characteristics of certain characters. But what's the going physics on with Unicorn Overlord, Jada?
So if you've ever played way back in the day Ogre Battle, this is kind of like a spiritual successor to that, where you're commanding this army. It's also Fire Emblem, so you know you're playing as this blue haired protagonist, and the whole world around you has been taken over by an evil army, and now it's your job to liberate them. And so you're going around as the unicorn faction, and you are liberating everybody from the evil.
Those are just regular horses. What is this? What a liar.
Where's the unicorns at? Where are they?
I attached a horn to the top of my horse, so it looks like a unicorn.
Okay, that's cosplay. That yeah,
so,
I guess.
So there's not actual unicorns in the game, or that's just
I haven't seen any. There's griffins, there's wyverns, there's a lot of things in this game. There's beast people.
Okay, let's
people,
hold on.
Just not the
on
thing on the box. People.
We're literally describing like 70% of video games. You got to liberate the fantasy realm from the griffins.
The The unicorn is the insignia for the family that you are part of, which is why it's called Unicorn Overlord.
Okay, so being the fire emblem of it all is it's very much like control. You're part of a kingdom, dynasty, whatever, and you've got to do. There's both political intrigue, but tactical turn-based battle kind of stuff.
That's a unicorn.
Exactly.
There's a unicorn.
So there you go. See, told you. There's a unicorn.
For those of you listening at home, there's a picture of the unicorn on the screen, and we can all see
it. It's a statue that you can't ride or interact with, but.
I mean, you could if you could ride it, but you probably wouldn't go any go.
I would personally save the receipt and get the money back.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
That's me. I don't know about...
but yeah, so this one mixes that kind of turn-based combat with RTS real-time strategy gameplay. So you'll load into a battle and you'll have like 5 minutes of real time to either capture the enemy base or wipe out all the enemy forces. And as your units move, time progresses. But when you're in battle or when you can pause time to like issue commands, use items, things like ballistas or catapults to launch attacks at people. Time is all frozen for that. So like these 5-minute battles, some usually take between 10 to 15 minutes, usually on average, I'd say.
Wait, what? The 5-minute battles take 10 to 15 minutes?
Well, because if you're pausing and like, well, so it's 5 minutes, you have a 5-minute time limit, but time pauses.
What is this? Some kind of never ending story?
This game is full of lies. What a bunch of unicorn shit this is.
I'm probably describing this terribly.
How would you like? Okay, I'm. This is sort of all Greek to me.
Jada, we're just messing with you.
I know.
There's definitely people in the like listening to the show right now. They're like, oh, they're making fun of my game. I don't actually care. We're just lovely.
Is this close enough to Fire Emblem that it's like a good Fire Emblem holdover on PlayStation for people who don't get that because it's a Nintendo thing?
Very much so. It's very much that it's the Fire Emblem you've been wanting for non-Tendo systems. you build out your squad. Initially, you only have like three people in your squad, and you have a 2x3 grid, and you can align them in different spots, and that will add different tactics to where people are placed. There's a whole gambit system for issuing commands to for each unit. So it's like, hey, only cast heal if somebody's below 50% HP. Or if you're an archer, I want you to prioritize flying units or prioritize scouts that are usually high dodge rates. Use your guaranteed hits to hit them. So there's a lot of strategy, even just in the party building of your squads. You get up to, I want to say, 10 squads. And you can, I'm up to 10 squads with 4 people per squad. So I'm managing 40 individual characters of gear, weapons, gambits, all types of different things. And it sounds overwhelming, but the way it rolls it out is so, it does it so perfectly with the rollout. It's very, they give you just enough as you progress over time to where you never feel overwhelmed. No. Like you're like, oh, okay, here's one new unit.
There's the old saying, it's like writing about music is like dancing about architecture. And I feel like this is that crossed with 4D chess. Describing a tactical turn-based game concisely is not a thing you can do.
It's really not.
Is there romance? Is there kissing and tea time and
there
such?
There's lots of romance. You can build rapport. People in your squad you fight with will gain rapport, and then you'll have little conversations you'll go have with people else around the world. You can also go to the tavern and share a meal together. The food. If you've never played a Vanillaware game, you have to look up screenshots of Vanillaware's food. Their food in games is always top-notch, and this continues that trend. I've never wanted a margarita pizza more than after playing this game and seeing their margarita pizza.
Okay, now you got me interested.
I knew that would be the gateway drug for Brian. I knew I just had to talk about something.
That counters all the horse violence that's really turning me off right now. Those guys did not sign up for this. They're just getting pummeled out there.
The combat system looked kind of jarring, though. I don't know. There was like lots of like cut scenes it was very fast paced. The combat that I was looking at.
That video probably has it sped up. So you can, when you go into combat, it plays at a normal pace, but you can hold R2 and it will speed it up. But yeah, that clip is definitely sped up. Or you can hit the option button and just skip all of combat, the animations, whatever, and it'll just show you the results.
I'm confused. Wait a minute. You can skip combat?
Well, you don't skip it. You just skip the animations. You just skip the battle, like what it shows. So like that screen that showed there, 0 on the right, 195 damage on the left, that tells you the preview of what's going to happen in the battle. So if you don't want to watch all the animations for this fight, this is a normal speed fight you can see going on right now for our viewers watching on YouTube.
So you have no real control over the combat is what you're saying?
You don't have, that's where the gambit system comes in.
It's like putting bugs in a jar, right? You put the bugs in the jar, and if the bug is strong, it will win, but not, you know?
Jada, exactly. would you say this is sort of a baby game that plays itself?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
It definitely does not play. I mean,
the combat, from what you just said about the combat, that's what it sounds like. It's playing itself.
So like the combat itself, so you don't need to have high dexterity to play this type of game, but you do have to put in the time to build out your characters with the right gear and the right formations. You know, you want to obviously put your tanks in the front, put your DPS in the back. But even having them in certain positions in the back will differ how they act and who they target. So like there's a lot of work you have to do before you can just kind of like let it auto play the battles for you, if that makes sense. Like it'll auto, like the battles are I'm losing words now because Akeem has tripped me up.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Look,
you're good.
So it's funny. Like the thing is, like games like this, I've gotten previews of as ads on YouTube. So I've never actually seen, like, this is a console game. This is just, it's mind blowing to me that this is something that people actually play, because like I want to be able to control the combat, and it's just I can't believe that this is a game that's actually on consoles and you can't really
control it with your tactics. You're like a general. You're setting the tactics and telling everybody what to do. It's like if you're playing StarCraft, like you don't actually do the battles when you're in StarCraft. You just march the people into the other enemies.
And I don't want to be God when I'm playing a game. I want to control them. I want to actually control them. I don't want to just like,
I get what you're talking about, but what if move you're, on what your if you're own. Old and tired and you just want to kind of,
then know, why are you playing games if you're old and tired? This is a young man's game.
For everybody, Akin.
What about games? What about games for the young people? Brian, I believe you played a unicorn game pretty recently as well. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you guys something. This game sucks. It's a real hot piece of trash. It's one of the worst games I ever played in my life. And if you're a girl dad out there, I'm going to save you, I don't know, $4.99 or whatever they're charging for this piece of trash right now. So at some point in the last year, my kid brought home COVID and then also brought home a love for unicorns. And I'm not sure which was worse for my family at the time. Both have, you know, not really fully gone away. So you have a 5-year-old daughter. She really likes unicorns. I was home with her one day. It was pouring rain. And she was like, do they have any unicorn video games? And I was like, probably. And they definitely suck, but we'll go look them up. And so I went on the PlayStation store and I looked up a unicorn game. And I found this game called The Unicorn Princess. And this game was definitely made in like Eastern Europe in probably about a week and a half by people who they didn't want to be there. No one wanted to be doing this. It's just awful. So this is a air quotes open world horse game where you play as a girl who is for some odd reason lives by herself in a large house, even though she's a child. First thing you do is first thing I did was you get out of the house and you try to clip through as much of the geometry as you can. You try to get the horse stuck on everything that you can do. But what's interesting is that every now and then this girl is, haunt is the word I would use, haunted by a unicorn. So a unicorn appears and it's like sparkling and glowing and it repeatedly says this girl's name until you approach it. And this girl's name is Layla. So you'll be out doing some awful chore and all of a sudden this unicorn shows up and goes, Layla, Layla, Lay. And it just does it over and over and over until you go and interact with her, which starts a cutscene. And then it brings you to some fantasy bullshit place where they just vaguely tinted everything pink and fluorescent. And you got to just run through rings or whatever.
Hold on a second. Because it looks like most of the time it's regular horse stuff, but then the unicorn comes and takes you to like a head trauma land.
Yes, it's mostly regular horse stuff. But here's what's even worse. What's your favorite part about riding a horse? Is it being on the horse or using the horse to pull the world's slowest cart that you've ever seen in your entire life so you could bring soda to somebody who's across the entire map? If it's that part, you're going to love... Yeah. Okay. You're going to love this game then, this piece of trash, because there's a mission in this game where they make you go across the entire world, which is it's like as big as a GTA game, but it's empty. There's nothing there, literally nothing whatsoever. So you go across this entire world in the slowest horse ever, pulling the slowest cart, and you bring them this shit, and then you have to turn around and go all the way back. And then there's a town, and in the town, there's like four NPCs that they're locked. They can't move. They are just stuck like this. They stand in place. And this one lady was like, hey, it's really good to see you. We had some visitors in town and they left a huge mess. Can you clean it up? And you're like, I don't even live here. I live in a house far from here. You work here. That's your job, but whatever, we'll do it. And then it says that you have to pick up 150 pieces of garbage. This lady, this town, this woman, these people that run this town let 150 pieces of garbage go on the floor, and then they just stood there until a child showed up and they said, you got to clean this shit up.
Why
this game? This game is so bad.
What does the garbage look like? What kind of garbage is it? Is it like medical?
It's just
waste,
like it's just what? No, yeah, it's just like it's like soda cups and like burger wrappers and stuff. Like they don't even have a fast food restaurant in this town, so this means all these people they were stopping by In-N-Out or whatever, Burger King, Carl's Jr. in their cars, and they show up, they just throw this crap all over the town. And I was just yelling about this, and my kid was like crying, laughing. She was just like cackling. She's like, "Why would all these people come to this stupid town and put all this garbage everywhere?" And I'm like, "Because they're terrible, honey. Don't ever do that." And so then, like, literally, I don't know, probably 51 minutes into this game, this pop-up screen comes up and it goes, hey, you sure you want to do that? Because the game's going to stop if you do that. And I was like, yes, definitely. And so I did it. And they're just like, all right, that's the end of the game.
Wait, the end of the game, the last boss is picking up 150 pieces of garbage?
Yeah, you do that. And there's like one more thing where you just have to like run around like this like fluorescent area and get like a crown and like a sword. And then it just locks you out of the rest of the game. You can never go back and do anything else. And then it just stops. And then when you go to start the game again, there's just the title screen and then the end of the game. It's awful. It's awful. I think if I had took $5 and I lit it on fire in my backyard, it would have been funnier and more entertaining. If I made an origami unicorn out of a $5 bill and lit it on fire on my barbecue, that would have been a better unicorn game than Unicorn Princess for PS4.
That's what Edward James Olmos from Blade Runner does on the weekends. That's how he's a barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't play that.
But I'm kind of curious though, Brian. Have you ever played?
I don't have any answers for you. I promise you.
Hold on here. Hold on. You don't even know what I'm asking.
Have I played what?
You probably, the tap does probably
He's
know.
Done.
Have you played Barbie's Horse Adventures?
No, I didn't play Barbie. I only had brothers growing up, so all this is new to me. I don't have any connection to any of this trash.
I retract my question.
Don't get me wrong. I played millions of terrible licensed games based on, you know, popular films and TV shows that were utterly garbage that people made in a weekend. There was like a Star Wars game for NES where Darth Vader turns into a scorpion at the end because like the people didn't see the movie yet, so they just guessed. Like, trust me, there's been
that's a normal thing.
That's a normal thing, right? There's been bad licensed stuff forever. I get it. I totally get it.
It's
but
just
this is not even what, this is. This is not even based on a movie or a show. It's just the idea of a unicorn.
It looked interesting. It looked like a better version of Barbie's Horse Adventures. That's what I was gonna. Not that I have experience playing that.
Okay, was that game a 0 out of 10? Because I guess this would be better. This is probably a 1 out of 10.
This game looks impressive. I feel like maybe I'm just old and my standards are low, but I feel like the graphics are pretty good. It looks like
that's what I was thinking.
It looks like if you took all the interesting parts out of Breath of the Wild and only had the horse parts and maybe a really very carefully fudged trailer. Also part where you can pet the horse's bottom.
You don't even really have to do that. There's like this meter where they're like, the horse is going to get filthy and stinky over the time. We barely have to do that. It doesn't matter. He could die out there in the field. No one would notice. It doesn't matter. It really, none of it matters. I'll tell you that much.
Is the unicorn's name Unica?
Yeah, because they couldn't even finish it. They don't even.
That's
care.
Like if my name was Huma Bia or something. That's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I will say the reason this game is a 1 out of 10 is because I got the horse stuck on, and it was so funny. Like I got it stuck on a park bench, and then you do cutscenes, and there's just this horse gyrating on the back of a park bench. I made him jump over all these fences and stuff that he wasn't supposed to go over. It was great.
Oh, so that's what brought it up to a 1.
Yeah, that's what makes it a 1 out of 10.
the jank.
This is developed by Capriana Games GmbH, and which I think is an antidepressant company. So don't buy it. Don't get it.
Okay, so that's actually a weird segue. That game sounds really tedious and boring and slow and annoying and frustrating. And it actually sounds like a game I'm really enjoying right now, which is Expeditions, a Mud Runner game, which is one of those silly ass Gamescom European truck games that I saw at Gamescom last year. I got real excited about, and I was completely prepared to be like, this game is too slow and annoying. I'm going to bounce off of this in 20 seconds. And I love it. I really love it. It's the people who did SnowRunner or SnowRunners. I can't remember if maybe SnowRunners is the sequel where there's more of them or something. I don't know, but that I played that for a little bit. And I feel like that was like, that's a game where it's Death Stranding with trucks. Or it's just, you know, Alaska road truckers or whatever. It's about driving trucks on bad terrain. The key thing is it's not a racing game. It's a driving game. So you're controlling cars, but the goal is less about going fast and more about just like getting over crap. So there's definitely a little bit of quap to it. You know, like it's very much about the tedium of kind of just like getting through very basic obstacles. The new one is like, they really tried to have fun with it. Like it's basically it's an open world game where you've got like open world style objectives where it's like, go find dinosaur bones or go find some stuff up on the hill. And like, then you just have to drive to it. That's it. Like, that's the game. Like, you basically have to outfit your truck. There's a bunch of different kinds of trucks. I don't know anything about trucks. So this is really, I don't know what a differential is, but you can like turn yours on and off or something. And it makes the truck do better at road stuff.
Doesn't look like he should be in that river at all.
It is honestly I'm so comically bad at it, but it makes it really fun. There's like a mission where they're like, hey man, there's a truck that's stuck in a big mud puddle. Can you go rescue the truck? And I send my little truck down there and I get it stuck in the mud puddle. And so I have to get in my second truck that I brought with me and drive down and try to rescue the truck I was sent to rescue, but also my first truck that I sent there. And you have like your little winch and you connect it to trees and stuff and you use it to like pull yourself up. And you can adjust the air pressure in your tires so your wheels get real floppy and they're better at sticking to rocks and stuff. Or you can make them like, it's just all poofy and they do good on rocks, I guess. I don't, again, like I would liken this to It feels like building a house of cards, or like trying to do that trick with the water bottle where you flip it and make it land, where it is like there's something so mundane but also like really captivating about it.
And that's a very there's a photography element where you take pictures of the mountaintops.
Yeah, you got a drone that you can get out and fly around, which is really funny because it feels like it's just taunting you. There's so many times when I'm just like, I just want to fast travel up there, or like, I already went to this place, can I just fast travel there? And it's like, no, that's not the point. Like if your truck runs out of gas too, your truck has hit points in different parts of its body, wheels, whatever. And like, I've done a thing where like, you know, I go too fast over a rock and my truck just flips over on its side, and it has like, you know, red damage indicators pop up, and it's like, you just got 15 damage on your wheels or whatever. Or like, and if your truck flips over on its side, you have to use like a special crank to flip it over and put it right side up. But sometimes you just have to like, you have to use like a grappling hook sort of, and like, you know, gradually pull yourself up onto something. Like it's entirely physics based to the point that it feels almost like a puzzle game more than a driving game. But there's this just basic kind of loop of like, it's going from point A to point B, and maybe sometimes back to point A again. And there's something completely mundane and tedious about it, but it is also like, it's really zen, you know, like there's something very meditative about doing it, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And I don't know, like, Akeem, you're talking about being old and tired and not wanting to play fun games, and man, am I there right now.
Awesome though. I'm kind of curious though, so when you do flip over, unlike like a Grand Theft Auto game, you don't explode. Like the car doesn't explode.
No, I don't think I honestly think this game is so boring, I think it's impossible to explode. Okay. Like, I think you can drive off a cliff and your truck will just land and it'll probably start smoking. Like, you know, like smoke will come out. It's not gonna like pull out a cigarette and be like, oh, what a job, you know, like it's like you can just mess your truck up really bad, but it's upsetting. Like, it doesn't do anything cool, you know, like I guess there's damage, you know, like you can get, you know, stuck in a mud puddle, but it's like there's something very anticlimactic about it. It honestly feels kind of like doing chores or yard work or something, which I don't know what's wrong with my brain right now. You know, I have a toddler, I'm busy with work, there's always stuff going on, and the fact that I have like less time than I'd like to play video games, I would love to have the energy to jump in and like zap bugs, or I don't know. I finished Yakuza finally. I loved that to death. That was wonderful. And I think there was sort of a, you know, kind of just like a vacuum of just like, I honestly don't have room for another massive game right now in my, in my spirit, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Like that, you get that.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like that's why I tend to like alternate large scale games with indies. Just because like it gives you a different experience. It slows down, a lot of times it slows down the pace. It kind of gives you a chance to just kind of breathe and like kind of like take in this next experience and prep yourself for the next big
thing. If you want a slow game, let me tell you, I have an Expeditions for you, and it's Expeditions, a Mudrunner game. This game is like, it's a little bit janky. Like a big part of the game is like the surface of the ground you're on. Like you got to pay attention if it's like mud or if it's rock or whatever. But there's a lot of texture pop in, so sometimes it just looks like you're just driving on butterscotch, and I'm like, I don't know if that's regular dirt or mud.
I don't know what this is.
Which is a problem, because then you get like your one wheel stuck, and I'm like, oh, it's not sand, it's wet, wet mud, and I need my special grappling hook now.
Do you get out of the car when you're doing like the grappling hook and stuff? No, okay, so it's just like you just fire the grappling hook from your car.
It's not even a grappling hook. I'm overselling it. It's a winch. Like, honestly, they took a million years ago.
No, there's no humans in this game, Brian, so there's no winches in that regard.
You can hire specialists, but I, as of yet, have no idea what they do. Like, before you go, this is amazing. You have to put down a deposit. Like, the whole thing is to, the whole point of this game is to, like, go and collect stuff, and you get money and points and buy truck upgrades, right?
Wait, are you taking its soul out? What's happening there? Like, what is that?
That's when you, that, so like basically, when you...
like, when someone dies in Roger Rabbit, the Weasel's ghost flies.
When you flip your truck over and it's completely stuck, and you have to use this thing called, I don't, it's
can
called
we see
like
that
a,
again?
It's like, it looks like a special jack or whatever. And basically, it, instead of basically flipping you back over or doing the thing like in GTA where it just makes your truck, like you gas it.
Or Halo, where you flip the warthog.
Yeah, where it just, like, it flips it in a video gamey fashion. It just, it autocorrects it. Like it, I don't know, it feels like a snap to thing, and it shows you the truck turns green if it's a place where you can safely put it down without it flipping over again and you having to use this stupid winch thing. There's so many weird little tedious elements in this game, and I honestly, this game is really not for everybody. It is probably not for a lot of people, but if it sounds remotely entertaining, I really am digging it. I'm having a good time. It's got like, it's that little part of Death Stranding I know a lot of people really, really clicked with, where you're just kind of doing a thing and like, you know.
Oh, so would you call this a Strand game as well? Is this in that genre as well?
So that's the thing, is they shipped it
without...
Did you
guys see that pun? I can't believe we put that in there.
Who sunk to truck?
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I get that. That's a Dead Kennedys reference, man. That's good.
Why are they trying to say... What are you...
That's
I thought
good.
I said the S word a bunch of times talking about the baby unicorn game. That's so much worse.
Yeah, too sunk to truck. That is... I didn't catch that in the review. What, you can say it? When your truck is too sunk and you cannot truck anymore, it gets sunk in the ground. You gotta use your special winch. This game, like, honestly, watch some gameplay of this. It's the trailers grotesquely oversell it and really overhype how exciting it is, because it is extremely boring moment to moment. Thank you everybody for listening. We are at time. We gotta wrap this up. But yeah, this was fun. It was fun talking about games with you guys. We'll be back next week to do it again, unless the forces of darkness try to really screw us up.
Unless we're too sunk to truck, then we
won't be able to be... Unless we get stuck in some sort of a metaphorical or literal quagmire, we'll find out. But until then, keep on trucking, everybody. Beyond.
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 Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz, and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.